Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our final study of the one-chapter book of Obadiah. We cover verses 17 through 21 in this message titled, The Kingdom Shall Be the Lord's. The conclusion of this two-part study, in addition to the previous messages in Obadiah and other free materials, as well as our contact and donation information, can all be found at our website, bbfohio.com. Now we begin with the current events update and then our study in Obadiah's one chapter covering verses 17 through 21 titled, The Kingdom Shall Be the Lord's. This is part one of two. Our current events update brought to you by Donato's. I'll give them a little free air advertising there. It's good pizza. Got a pretty good price, too. Number one, gas prices are about to go up, and some of you have already seen that.
Surprise. Thanks, Biden.
We had reports from the state of Washington from our integrated reporter out there, Katie Hintz. She was telling us that they already jumped up, what'd she say, 38 cents or something like that out there? But I think you're going to see the worst of it after the midterm elections in about a month.
Yeah.
So whatever you're seeing now, don't think that's the end of it. One news source asked this question. This is the same day, two different news sources. One says, will Saudi Arabia support Putin by driving OPEC to cut oil production today? Move would hike U.S. gasoline prices and help boost Russian coffers ahead of European import ban. Well, the other news sources answered that question for us like this. This is NPR. Russia and Saudi Arabia agree to massive cuts to oil output. Here's why it matters. The OPEC Plus Alliance announced a 2 million barrels a day cut in oil production today, an amount that could drive oil and gas prices back up after weeks on a downward trend. They will drive the prices up. Some of the prices are, like you said, you've paid some already. They'll do that just out of fear to kind of hedge their losses there by driving them up a little bit ahead of time. Some just like any excuse to drive up the price on you.
Yeah.
Biden is a crook who is owned by foreign nations. I don't know exactly what they have on him, but I know they have plenty on Hunter, his son. We know that they have this information, his crooked dealings in Ukraine. We also know that the Chinese have something over him. We went from energy independence and affordable gas in 2020 to being a slave nation, dependent upon our enemies for energy as of now. Why? Because Biden is a crook who is owned by foreign nations. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Number two, Loretta Lynn.
How
many of you like Loretta Lynn? I love Loretta Lynn. She has gone to be with the Lord. How many of you knew that? Do you know she passed away?
Okay.
So why discuss this in current events? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, she had a good profession in spite of a bad denomination and being a late bloomer. When she finally got serious about the Lord, probably in the last 15 years or so, her family was Church of Christ. And so she went to the Church of Christ church down there where she lives. And she had already made a profession of faith that she was saved, but then was baptized, because their policy isn't just like ours that believers get baptized as a public profession, but the Churches of Christ believe it's necessary for salvation. That doesn't mean everybody who's a Church of Christ is going to hell. I've heard some preachers preach that. But I want you to see this. This is her in her own words.
With a dear
dust and bed.
I saw upon three crosses three men in agony, and two cried out for mercy, and the third man, he looked at me. And oh, the hurt of this man's eyes just broke my heart in two. It seemed that I could hear him say, "I'm doing this for you." I knelt beneath the third man's cross, and I slowly hold him out of my head. And I reached out to touch his feet, and it stained my hand with red. And when I heard him cry in pain, I raised my eyes to see, and the blood spilled from the third man's side. Some of it spilled on me. The third man wore a crown of thorns, and spikes held him to the tree. And I heard him say, "Oh God, my God, hast thou forsaken me?" And there within a mighty crowd, the ones who mocked him cried, said, "King, save thyself if you are a king." That's when the third man died.
Kill my trophies at last.
Oh, my. It hurts. I want to be able to tell him how much I appreciate what he did. There's no way you can repay Jesus for what he done, because there's just no way. You just have to show him how much you love him, and I think that's the way we all have to repay him. In that way, you can't pay him back any other way. It's in your actions. And he loved that.
Yeah. You can't get a much better profession from somebody who's probably still pretty much a babe in Christ in her spiritual growth. But she made it clear that she believed Jesus paid for her sins, and she wanted to pay him back. And, of course, she said, "You can't pay him back." But that's basically Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's only reasonable that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice so that you show your appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done for you. I've never understood professing Christians who just act like, "Oh, I'm saved now, you know, I'll do whatever till this life's over." I've always felt like I wanted to show my appreciation for the fact he saved me from an eternal hell. And so... Now, if Elizabeth the Queen, or Babs, what they called Barbara Bush, or others that we've talked about in the past who we had to just set the record straight, because a lot of Christians were trying to put them in heaven, and we hope they're all there. We don't want anybody in hell, but I'm not going to let people think you get to heaven any other way than the Bible way. Amen. And if you don't give a profession of faith in the cross of Christ that shed blood like Loretta Lynn just did, then I can't accept... And we shouldn't accept. And again, what should we say? Well, hope to see you in heaven. But we can't know it. And if they had that sort of testimony, we could have basis for hope to see them someday in heaven. Number two, on a personal note, God used a Loretta Lynn song to put me under great conviction some months before I got saved. Let's see if you've ever heard this.
Not even room to kneel and pray.
Standing room only
on the judgment day.
Picture me, I'm sitting there playing cards, drinking beer with the buddies, and this comes on the radio
night,
for some reason.
I had an awful dream that the end of time had come. The trumpet had been sounded, and life on earth was done.
I won't play the whole thing. You'll have to go out and listen to it. But I'm sitting there. I was already under conviction because people were coming at me from strangers. People don't even know. Give me gospel tracts and tell me I need Jesus. And then I got some relatives I do know coming up and telling me I need Jesus. I get out of town. I'm down in Nitro, West Virginia. And I'm hanging out on a Friday night. Had to work through the weekend or work through Saturday. So we got us some beer and playing some cards and everything. And all of a sudden that song comes on the radio.
Amen.
But I just want to point out, singing gospel songs didn't save Loretta. There's a lot of guys who have gospel albums who are in hell right now. We don't know how many, but a lot. It was her faith in the gospel that saved her. Amen? 1 Peter 1:3 said it this way, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead."
Amen.
Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead. It's the most well-attested historical event in ancient history. And people say, you can't prove it. Well, you can't prove George Washington existed. But what you can do is ask this question, what's the best explanation for the evidence we have? And the best explanation for the evidence we have is Jesus rose from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
All right, tonight we're going to close out our study of Obadiah. Say that with me. Obadiah. Yeah, that'd be... would have been, you know, a good name for a boy baby. But we think maybe Obi-Wan Kenobi, that might have been his first name, Obadiah. We're not sure, but... And we titled this, "The Kingdom Shall Be the Lord's." We're going to be verses 17 through 21. Obadiah now moves beyond Edom's demise. That's what the first 16 verses covered. As a result of their hatred of Israel, which we went in depth to... in our study last time. So let's read. You join in the odd verses, so join right in there with verse 17. "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." Amen? So, we started there in verse 17 with the words, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance." Now, this has fulfillment in the cross and the second coming. Deliverance comes upon Mount Zion in both the spiritual sense of the payment for sins and the deliverance of Israel finally from her enemies. Comparing Scripture with Scripture, we see that Jesus died at Mount Zion, which is spelled Sion several times in your New Testament. I think, Charlie, you got John 12, 15 through 16. If you got that, Jenny Albaugh's bringing you the microphone so everyone online and everyone can hear you. John chapter 12, verses 15 through 16.
"Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him."
So there you see the reference to Mount Zion there, and the Savior bringing salvation, deliverance. That's what happened at the cross. And then Jesus then will return to Mount Zion. He'll land on the Mount of Olives and walk right through that eastern gate.
Amen.
And take his throne on Mount Zion. But I want to look at Romans 11, 25 and 26, where Paul described this. We've read this a couple of times in our Isaiah Sunday morning Sunday school studies. But Olivia, if you have that, Romans 11, 25 and 26.
"For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall be come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
So that's a reference to the deliverance in Mount Zion of Israel when Jesus returns. Both must have happened before Israel can finally have peace in her land. So that makes us pessimists, because when the world wants to buy the rest of the world a Coke and teach them all to sing, we know that we're not going to have world peace until the Prince of Peace returns. Amen?
Amen.
Shame on you. You're the problem. That's actually what they'll say. They say it. They say that fundamentalist Christians, that's a derogatory term. It used to, 150 years ago, it wasn't. But now they call anybody who is dedicated to their own religion a fundamentalist. They use that for Christians, talking about Bible-believing Christians. Then they'll use it about fundamentalist Islamic terrorists and fundamentalist Mormons who are killing people. So try to paint you up in a bad light. But fundamentalists believe the Bible, and since we believe the Bible, then we're accused of actually getting in the way of peace. But we have to explain it. We're not saying we're doing anything to stop peace. We're saying God is not going to allow peace. He won't allow it because they're doing it just like they did at the Tower of Babel.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Without God. And God's going to get in the way just like he did at Babel. Johnny?
It's the same kind of excuses that they're doing for the Sodomites, to where the Sodomites are, you know, depressed and sad.
Committing suicide at high rates.
And yet, of course,
the
only reason they're doing that is because of us.
That's right. Because you tell them they're sinners and it's wicked, and you're saying they're bad. Yes. But everybody's bad. I got saved because I found out I was bad. I'm wicked, and I need forgiveness of sin. And if someone hears that they're bad, but there's somebody who's died to save them, and they can be made good, made right in God's eyes, and eventually conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's not a bad message. And if anybody commits suicide after hearing that, it's in spite of the message that is good news. Yeah, Brian? With an eye?
Yeah. Don't you think it goes even now, these people are so radicalized, these leftists?
Yeah.
And it goes beyond even religion. Now, if you don't watch certain movies, there was a movie that came out this weekend, the first gay comedy or whatever.
Right.
Now the director's going, it's bombed, and now he's saying anybody that didn't go to that movie is homophobic.
Yeah. Well,
or if you don't follow that, it doesn't matter if you're have a religion or not. It seems.
And there's so much Orwellian, you know, nonsense about that you have to cut through, because they just say you're homophobic if you're opposed to homosexuality, which means I am homophobic by that definition. And so everybody's so afraid of being called homophobic that they try to, you know, go bend over backwards literally to not be called homophobic. I just think everybody would say, well, call me whatever you want. It's a sin. And I posted on my MeWe social media, I'm that guy. Blame me. I'm one of the people who will never go see a sodomite rom-com.
Never.
Not going to do it.
Amen.
And you want to blame me? Go right ahead. Listen, and I don't care if you point a gun at my head, I am not going to stop telling you that sin is sin.
Amen.
You know what you need to do? Repent.
Amen.
You're wicked, but if you'll repent, the Spirit of God will come into you, and he can help you overcome that wicked desire, that lust in you. And you can be made righteous. And you can live a life that isn't filled with vile, wicked sexual sin. And that's what I wish I knew people like that, but I don't. So I posted it on my little social media feed and they never see it. But that's what, you know, God wiped Israel out because they had the same proud, rebellious, wicked attitude that the left in this country, the woke in this country, have today. God killed them. You don't like it, get over it. That's the reality. You're not liking something doesn't change it. I don't like cancer, but cancer's here. It's a result of sin. Sin came in the world and death by sin. So because of man's wickedness and sin, even little kids get cancer and die. Who did it? Man did it. God has offered to take care of that problem and give you life in an eternal existence where you won't have any more cancer. But man would rather die in his sin. That's how wicked man is. Jessica?
What is Orwellian?
That's a reference to the book 1984. And I'll have to explain it to you. We've talked about it before. But 1984 was where they showed that the government would make you say things even if it's not true. Like that abortion isn't killing a baby. It's a blob of tissue.
They call it reproductive health care.
Yeah, it's reproductive health care. What? Yeah, it's eventually, well, in this country, we call it hate crime laws. They criminalize speech in spite of our First Amendment.
So where did they get the name Orwell?
George Orwell wrote the book.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right, so back to our text there, verse 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. That's what man hates, is holiness. Man likes vile sin. God is holy. And man is rebellious, rebelling against the holiness of God. And Israel's golden days lie ahead in the end times. And that's why we say Israel is in their land now to an extent, and it's setting the stage for what will eventually happen when, after 7 years of Satan trying to kill all the Jews, Jesus Christ will return and he will save the third that remains. And then they'll go into a thing called the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ on this earth, on a throne, ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. That sounds crazy. That's just ridiculous. That's just, oh, by the way, your creationism is crazy too. We know that an alien planted life on the earth and that's how we all got here, but you're nuts. Yeah. Okay, but even the people who don't believe in aliens. Well, you know, you Christians and your fundamentalist beliefs in God creating everything, what actually happened was there was nothing and it exploded.
Yeah.
And that produced everything you see today. And yes, a number of science. But then you say, you get to even the most celebrated mind on the planet before he died and went to hell was Stephen Hawking. And he says, well, just because there's such a thing as gravity, then nothing will develop into something and create itself. Well, as crazy as that is, okay, wait a minute. Where did gravity come from? See, they think they're answering things. When you say an alien did it, okay, that's crazy, but where did the alien come from? Well, there's multiple universes. Well, where did those multiple universes come from? At some point, somewhere, you either have to believe there was once nothing that exploded, cuckoo, or you believe in God, who is without beginning or ending, who is not created. That, I'll grant you that that's kind of crazy in a way too. But again, what's the best explanation? And the best explanation is God. And so, people don't like the fact that one of these days a Jew is going to rule the world. Doesn't change the fact that it's going to happen just because you don't like it. The Jews are going to be the premier nation on earth. And their king will be the king of all kings. Amen. Over all nations.
Amen.
Well, I hate the Jews. Well, you're out of luck. You're going to go to hell. Yeah. It's going to be a Jew on that throne. So verse 18 then says, and the house of God shall be a fire. And the house of Joseph a flame. And what about those who stand against them? start with Esau, and the house of Esau for stubble. We ended last week with that graph looks kind of like that, but if you fight against God and his people, you will be destroyed. You will be stubble. It says, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. Now, we don't know of any today that remain of the house of Edom. Some claim and believe that the Palestinians, who are, that's a made up word. I mean, there was never a race of Palestinians until Yasser Arafat made it up. It's fiction. But those who call themselves or are called Palestinians, they, if they